Black Country Radio Sport.
My name's Adam Parks, and you're very welcome to another edition of the Black Country Sportscast from Black Country Radio. This edition, we look back to Tuesday night's action, which saw a surprise defeat for House Owen Town at Bromsgrove Sporting. Elsewhere, Stourbridge got a 2-2 draw against AFC Telford United, and Stafford Swifts keep going from strength to strength. Yes, a busy programme, and we also look back to the action from Monday night at Monmore Green, where the Speedway took place in front of several thousand Speedway supporters in what is getting towards the end of Speedway in this area. Very sad times indeed. But we'll start off with football and a somewhat surprising defeat in the Southern Central Premier Division on Tuesday night for House Owen Town. They were beaten at Bromsgrove Sporting by 3-1, that despite House Owen having taken the lead through Macaulay Manning, who's in really good form at the moment. After the game, manager of House Owen Town, Paul Smith, caught up with Steve Parker.
On the pitch here at the Victoria Ground, after it finished Bromsgrove Sporting 3, House Owen Town 1, Paul Smith has come out as fast as ever to talk to us. Paul, your thoughts on the game?
I thought first 25 minutes were very good. We scored, created numerous chances, didn't take them, but I thought we were very good for the first 25. We made a mistake then, we've let a kid run sort of 40 yards, 50 yards, and they've scored, and it gave them some renewed impetus, it gave them a foothold in the game. And then from then on, the kids at a worldie to go 2-1, and credit to them, I thought they outworked us from that point on. You could see what it meant to them. You could see how much desire and hunger they had, and they had more hunger and desire than us. And the problem you've got is if your quality's not good enough and then you don't work as hard as the opposition, you run the risk of getting beat. And that's what's happened today. We've dropped our standards. That's been nowhere near what we've put into the season so far in the first 10 games. And this division's relentless, that if you don't play to your optimum, you can get your bum's bit, and that's what's happened today. It's unfortunate it's here for my first time back here, but we were never going to go and win every single game. And what's crucial now is how the boys bounce back from this defeat in training on Thursday, and then a big FA Cup game on Saturday.
How are they feeling in the dressing room? We've gone 10 games without losing so far. Tells you a lot while you're in the dressing room now, I suppose.
Well, they're not singing and dancing, that's for sure. You know, they're down, they're disappointed, and so they should be. Listen, it's crucial we don't go too overboard with it. It's a case of we've been brilliant for 10 games. We've played some lovely stuff, we've scored some great goals, we've put some brilliant early points on the board, and if someone had told me we were going to lose one of the first 11 in all competitions, I'd have snapped your hand off. So it's important we don't go overboard with it. It's a defeat, it's one that the boys have got to learn from. And it's crucial we get back in Thursday, work hard, get smiles back on faces, and look to put in a better performance on Saturday.
Yeah, sometimes you just need that to see how they react anyway, don't you?
No, I don't want to defeat. I prefer not to have lost, that's for sure. But ultimately, we didn't play to the standards we set ourselves by our first 20-minute period, and we didn't play as well as we have done. And that's the crux of the matter, that we've been outworked and our standards have dropped. And credit to Bromsgrove, it's a good 3 points for them. And we look forward to coming back here in 10 days in the FA Trophy, and let's see if we can put in a performance more like ourselves.
It's like we've said all season, there's no easy teams in this league. They hadn't won until today. Played out of their skin almost.
Yeah, I think they have won. They've won away, I think, but not obviously not at home. But, like I said, credit to Bromsgrove. They were better than us on the night by that 20-minute spell. They've worked harder than us, and they deserve their win. And like I said to you, it's football, unfortunately. You're not going to win them all. We haven't done enough to get any points here. We dust ourselves down and get ready for Saturday.
Yeah, training Thursday and then the magic of the FA Cup Saturday against a team I don't suppose we've ever played before.
I'm not sure. We had them watched on Saturday, so we've got a little bit about them. We look forward to it. It's a real good one in front of the home fans again. And what's massive is I get a reaction from the boys and get a performance more like us for 90 minutes instead of just the 20 minutes they've put in tonight.
Yeah, thanks for your time, Paul.
Okay, no problem.
Cheers.
Take care.
Steve Parker then talking to Paul Smith after that defeat on Tuesday evening. Halesowen Town dropped to third place in the table with 19 points from 10 games. That's because Needham Market leapfrogged them after their victory by 6-1 at home against St Ives Town on Tuesday evening. The winning coach is from Bromsgrove Sporting. Spoke to Steve afterwards. Sir Craig Nicholls spoke to Steve on the pitch.
On the pitch here at the Victoria Ground after it finished, Bromsgrove Sporting 3, Halesowen Town 1. Normally talking with Craig from another side. On the touchline, how did that feel?
Yeah, brilliant. It's not about me, it's about the group of players that have gone out there and they've done exactly what Macca and myself have asked of them. The work rate was unbelievable, but you know, when we've had the chance to play, we've played. When we knew Halesowen would have a lot of possession and they try and play football, but we nullified their threat by just getting nice and secure and compact off the ball.
Yeah, and three well-taken goals for really entertaining the crowd, those are.
Yeah, do you know what? It's been our issue this season. We've had chances and we haven't put them away. And then tonight we know Connor T's got that quality to go and make something out of nothing. But the other two goals, you know, they're kind of counter-attack goals, but we've took the chances, which on another day this season, we haven't done that. And, you know, fair play to the boys today. They've done it.
One of them from the man with almost the unpronounceable surname, a standing striker, and took it well, didn't he?
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's... It was a great attack. You know, obviously we thought about how they would play and we knew that if we won the ball back, if we broke quickly, we could have a chance in behind. And, you know, like I say, the lads have done exactly what Macca and myself have said to them and what we've worked on. And, you know, it's come good.
It was always going to be a problem that you'd know way too much about Halesowen Town, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, obviously, you know, Paul and the guys have brought in some new players that, you know, I don't really know much about. You know, we've been able to watch the videos and see what they've been doing in their games and stuff like that. So, you know, I had an idea of how it would be and myself and Macca sat down and spoke about how we can nullify their threats and stuff and that was it.
Craig, got to go for another one. Congratulations.
Thank you. Cheers.
Steve Parker talking to the head coach of Bromsgrove Sporting, Craig Nicholls, after that 3-1 win for Bromsgrove Sporting on Tuesday evening. Well, on to Stourbridge, and they picked up a 2-2 draw at home against AFC Telford United, a result that leaves the Glass Boys in 10th place on the table with 14 points from 10 games, and AFC Telford United in 13th place with 12 points from 10 games. Definitely a game of two halves, as I put it to Leon Broadhurst after the game.
Leon, the proverbial game of two halves?
Yeah. I think first half, I thought we was outstanding. I thought we played, changed the shape, wanted to get more energy in the team, wanted to get more pace up front, and I wanted to try and create some space for Bembo. And it worked to a T first half. Second half, for the first 20 minutes, we didn't do what we'd been doing. In the first half for some reason they were always going to have a spell. They've got good players, they've got a good team, and they was on top for 20 minutes, and as soon as we, obviously we conceded two goals, but as soon as we went back to doing what we'd done in the first half for the last 15 minutes, it was an entertaining game. We looked like a threat again. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of positives, obviously being 2-0 up and drawing is disappointing when you throw away your lead like that. But there's a lot of positives to take out of tonight as well, especially with the run and the performance from Saturday, which wasn't acceptable. So we'll take the positives and try and cut out the negatives, and will make us better coming into Saturday.
The one negative, of course, was probably defending set pieces, which is how AFC Telford United got both of their goals. I mean, that's going to disappoint you, really.
Yeah, that's disappointing, obviously. We don't get them opportunities the other way. But we have to man up. It's whoever's man scored the goal, it's that individual's fault, and the lads know that. We tell them, yeah, but it's about that desire and that application to not allow your man to score, and that's something that we have to work on. We've conceded too many goals from set pieces. We changed it slightly over the past coming weeks, and we thought it got better putting Kingy in the hole to go and attack the ball. But they won the first contacts and then could go anywhere, and it ricocheted on both occasions, and obviously they put the ball in the back of the net.
Bembo played well. I mean, you just mentioned that you've given him a bit more space to play in there, and that certainly showed during the first half, but also thought Niall Flint had a cracking game down the wing as well.
Yeah, obviously we know what Bembo can do. The one thing we have to do with Bembo, we have to manage Bembo. He's not like he was 8 years ago, but his quality is there for everyone to see. And obviously, if the shape today was to all give Bembo a little bit more time, because if you give him space, he can dictate the tempo, he can dictate the play. And obviously, with his goal, you can see what he can do when he's inside the 18-yard box. And that was the game plan. Obviously, Niall, since he's come through the door in the summer, he's been a revelation. He's been... his energy, his work ethic typifies Starbridge Football Club, and I thought today I asked him to do a job that's a bit foreign to him. He's played on the right all season. I asked him to use his energy on the left, and I thought he was outstanding.
A couple of players not in the squad tonight that were in that defeated team on Saturday, and also you brought in a new player as well.
Yeah, Bren and Dexter are not 100% fit, so after Saturday I decided to go with players that are fit, and we had a conversation yesterday and I made the decision, and that's it. And obviously bringing Charlie Dowd in, I played with Charlie, I know Charlie, I know what he can bring to the team and the squad. He's a great lad, he's a great character, and he's something that we haven't got in the dressing room, and he'll be a great addition. And then today I also brought Fletch in and Alfie Stewart in. I came to watch Alfie last week, and he was by far the best player on the pitch, so I'm all for giving the kids an opportunity. And I thought Alfie was brilliant when he come on. But Fletch today, he's been in my ear. I want to play, and I've always said to him, you'll be given your opportunity. And I wanted a bit more energy. I wanted some engine. I wanted another engine body in there. I wanted somebody that can rat. I wanted somebody that can make their midfield think about that somebody's coming to engage with them. And I thought Fletch, with his goal, it typified Starbridge Football Club in a way. He's a local lad. He wants to play. He's got a heart like a lion, and I'm sure he'll be in me here Thursday now for Saturday.
Now, what do you do about a team like Mikulova?
Obviously, Mikulova have had a fantastic start. We went to watch them yesterday at Barwell, and all credit to them. But one thing is that they haven't played us at Amblecote this season. We've got a great history in the FA Cup, and one thing is they would have looked at the fixtures when it was drawn, and they won't fancy it either. They would have thought it's a very tough draw for them. But we have to take the positives on tonight. Obviously it's not 3 points, but there was a lot of positives. And if we can, like I said, try and eradicate the risks and stop the negative elements of the game, and we'll give them a right good game.
What do you do about the lack of Charlie Price?
Lack of Charlie, we're getting a keeper in, so obviously Charlie's been he's been brilliant all season, and not to have Charlie in the FA Cup game, it's disappointing. Of course it is, but we do everything we can to get a keeper in.
And similar sort of situation to the Birmingham Senior Cup final.
Yeah, very similar to Birmingham Senior Cup. We'll work hard now until Saturday, and we'll bring one in.
Well done tonight. Thanks for talking to us.
Perfect. Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks. Yeah, cheers.
Leon Broadhurst talking to me after that 2-2 draw against AFC Telford United on Tuesday evening. Now, three of our local sides go into FA Cup action in the third qualifying round on Saturday afternoon. You heard us mention about Stourbridge at home against Mickleover, who of course are top of the Southern Central Premier Division, totally unbeaten in the league this season, 100% record, and it will be a tough game, of course, for the Grass Boys. Hounslow in town are taking on Enfield Town from the Isthmian League, and also Rushall Olympic have a home game in the third qualifying round. They take on Boston United, with teams from the Vanarama National League North allowed into the competition at this stage. We'll have news and reports on all three of those games and commentary from one of them on Saturday afternoon in Black Country Sport from 2 o'clock.
Black Country Radio Sport.
Now, Stourport Swifts had a little bit of an innocuous start to the season, but are suddenly climbing up the table big time in the Midland Football League Premier Division. On Tuesday evening, while they were in sixth place, they took on the league leaders at the time in Highgate United at Walsh's Meadow. They were 3-0 up, but in the end got by 3-2. And I spoke to one of the coaches from Stourport Swifts, who's Ryan Pratt, after that game. So, Ryan, it was a pretty good performance on Tuesday night.
Yeah, really good result against Highgate. We, to be honest, Adam, it was probably the best team performance of the season. We played some really good football. The pitch, to be fair, the pitch was very, very, very good. It was in a good condition, so we could get the ball down and play. And we were very much deserving of the win, I think. Ben Tilbury scored a goal. Lee Chilton got back on the score sheet as well. It was a good performance. Highgate are a very good side. Got some really good players. They play a diamond system, and they play that to their strengths. And although we nearly chucked it away at the end with two silly goals, we were definitely deserving of the win. It's a shame we couldn't keep a clean sheet. I said at the weekend we had to be bang up for Tuesday night. We had to be on it, and to be fair, we were very well drilled, very well organised, and it's good to see us up there really in second place. So it's 7 unbeaten now, which is really, really good. But we have another tough test on Saturday at Shiffnell, which again we have to be equally as up for that. I say this every week, Adam, but there's no easy games in the league, and you have to always be up for it, always be on it. And to be fair to our lads, over the last month, we've been up for it pretty much every game.
I guess the disappointment, Ryan, was the concession of two late goals.
Yeah, definitely, especially from a defensive point of view. And me and Quent and Dean were big believers of... clean sheets win your leagues, and we haven't kept many this season, which is a little bit frustrating. And I do feel defensively we are quite hard to break down. We've probably got the best defensive partnership in the league with Ethan Hansen and Ben Jevons. We still give away silly goals. We've sorted out the set pieces, where we've conceded a lot of goals from that. Although we did concede one Tuesday night, we do look very well organised, but I think it's just lapses of concentration across the pitch. If I'm honest, Adam, I think players just switch off for a moment. And the thing is, I think we ask a lot of the players. We have high demands of them, and our standards are really high, and they just have moments where they switch off. I think Saturday when we played Utox 2, we didn't really get out of second gear, but last night it was one of the better team performances I've seen at Stourport.
I noted that Lee got the third goal, and I mentioned that to Paul Jenkins at the time at Stourbridge, and he says, Lee Chilton, he's had more comebacks than you. But it was nice to see Lee on the scoring again, which is something that he's done for year after year after year, as long as I've been doing this, to be honest. He's always been playing for a club that he can score goals at, and I guess long may it continue for Stourport Swifts.
Oh, definitely. He's what an unbelievable player. I mean, Lee was playing when I was in a pushchair.
Yeah, he was.
and to be to be running a team with Chilean is remarkable, really. But yeah, I've known Chile a long time, and he, like you said, mate, he's always scored goals, and he's been a fantastic servant to Starport. He's been with the club now, I think, 2.5 seasons. So we were really pleased when he agreed to return in the summer. He had, believe it or not, he had a lot of offers to go higher and at other clubs, and he had some really good deals on the table. But I think he feels at home at Starport, and we have a lot of respect for Chile, and you know what he's done for the team over the years and the jobs he does. You know, if you need Chile to fill in a position, he doesn't moan, he does it. I've never seen a player ever stop running, you know, like Chile. He just doesn't stop, he's always on the move, and some of the diagonal crossfield runs he makes are absolutely unbelievable, you know, and he's doing that in the 90th minute, whereas some players might do that in the first 5 minutes and you think, wow, he's actually doing it, you know, after 85, 90 minutes of football. But yeah, amazing, amazing player, great bloke, got a lot of time for him, and you know, the day he does decide to retire, I think I'll probably be retired when he when he decides to retire, but the day he does retire, it'll be the end of an era, and to be honest with you, Adam, I don't see anyone achieving what Chile's achieved in his career, and I don't think there'll ever be anyone like Lee Chilton.
No, I suspect you're right there. What did you make of your draw in the FA Vase home against Sherwood Colliery, who not a lot of people will know even exist?
Yeah, obviously when the draw came out, we were really pleased that we were drawn at home. I think that's first and foremost, you can't really complain about a home draw. Looking at Sherwood, I think they're top of the United Counties, Prem North. So straight away you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a top of the table clash. I know they played Worcester City in the FA Cup and they lost 2-1, but I think they're unbeaten in the league. They've got ex Portsmouth, Notts County, Walsall striker Craig Westcar up front for them. He's the top scorer at the moment. I think he's got... he's a very, very experienced forward, and to have him at the level, there must be a very decent side. But yeah, we're going to speak to Worcester City. As we know, they played... Sherwood in the FA Cup, and we'll do our research on them, and we may even try and get out and watch them at some point. But I mean, look, it's a home draw. We're pleased we've been drawn at home. Yes, they're top of their league. Yes, we don't know much about them, but it's nice to play a team in a different league, to be honest, Adam. When I saw the draw, I was quite pleased with it. And I think as a coach and for the players, it gives us a different experience.
How much of a priority is the FA Vase?
Oh yeah, it's massively up there. Obviously, the prize money is an income source for the club. Starport over the last couple of years have had a very good record in the FA Vase. The chairman always wants us to do well. We always want to do well in the FA Vase. So yeah, it's up there with the league. Obviously, the league is your bread and butter. Yeah, we want to be successful in the league, but equally, if we can have a little run in the Vase, you know, that'll boost the money. Hopefully, we can get a few fans through the door as well. And I do feel with cup runs like at clubs, you've seen it with our clubs locally, like Starbridge and Al's Owen. You know, you can add a few fans onto your fan base and get people through the door, and you know, you have a lot of togetherness, as we've seen with Alchurch last year. You know, there's a lot of togetherness when you have a cup run. So yeah, we're looking forward to the FA Vase. Obviously, we've got 3 or 4 league games to think about before then, but it'll be a good day for us. Hopefully we can get through to the next round.
And is it a case that you don't mind who you get? It doesn't matter where they're based as long as you get through.
Yeah, as long as we can get through, you know, you have to deal with it game by game. At the end of the day, it's something out of our hands. We can't control who we play. It's down to the draw, you know, and it's drawn out. You know, it's just one of them things. Obviously, you know, you look at some draws and you think, oh, I'd like to play against them, whether that's a local rival or, you know, like last season when we were at Bromsgrove, you know, looking at the draw, you were thinking, oh, you know, we're in the FA Cup, we'd like to go here, we'd like to go there, you know. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's about getting through, and it doesn't matter who we play. You got to get the job done.
Something that's been announced as we record today is Alva Church appointing their new management team, with James Fry and also Richard Batchelor taking over. Any thoughts?
Do you know something? I'm really pleased for Jimmy Fry. I actually worked with Jimmy at Bromsgrove when he was a player, and I kept in touch with Jimmy. He's a really good lad. He's always been a good coach. When he was playing, he saw things before other people. He would step in and you know, speak his mind. He's a very, very good bloke. I think he'll do a really good job at Alva Church. I know he's I don't know if he's still with Birmingham, but he was working with Birmingham last time I spoke to him as a coach. I think he'll do really well at Alva Church. He's obviously got experience coaching at Stratford Town. He's had a very good playing career, so I think it's a really good appointment. It's a gamble for the club, because obviously, you know, he's not managed at this level. But I think, you know, knowing Jimmy personally, I think he'll do a really good job. I do need to ring him actually and congratulate him. I haven't spoke to him for a couple of weeks, but really pleased for him, and same for Batch really. Obviously, Batch has got a really good reputation as a player. To be honest, as a player, I'd love to play for Richard Batchelor, because I think he, you know, he's got a lot about him as a person. He's a character. I think he'll be a good personality for the Alva Church dressing room, and I've always had a lot of respect for him. And like a couple of clubs I've been at, we've always tried to get him in, and never been able to get him in. But see him in a player coach capacity, it's quite interesting, but I hope it goes well for them.
Yeah, Sporting Kells' loss is definitely Alva Church's gain, and also Steve Hensel is coming in as head of performance, coupled with the new role as first team coach, so all change at Alva Church.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Alva Church have got their hybrid programme, and they need a lot of bodies. I know they've got a big backroom staff. I'll be honest, it was a shame about Ian Long. I've got a lot of time for Ian, and he's got a great record as a manager, and some of the stuff he's done at Alva Church is fantastic. But I'm sure Ian will be back in football very soon.
That was going to be my next question. Do you see him getting back into management?
Yeah, it's I think very soon he'll be back in management. I know. Again, I haven't spoke to Ian for a little bit, but I know he'll be itching at the chance to get back in the dugout. Just a case of where he'll go, I'm not too sure. I mean, looking at the jobs that have come up, the Walsallwood job's up, Colesdale haven't got a manager. I don't think he would go to Gresley, but that's a job that's up. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, we've had a bit of a merry-go-round in the last 10 days with managers and different things. But we'll have to see. But yeah, I think he'll be back very soon.
So going back to this forthcoming Saturday, finally, Stabble Swiss are away at Shifnal Town. Now, I saw Shifnal Town at home against Dudley Town at the start of the season. They put on a very professional performance. It's never easy going to Shifnal, is it?
No. I, to be honest with you, Adam, I don't think I've ever won at Shifnal as a player or a coach. So yeah, very difficult place to go. They've got a good supporter base. Usually you go there, the pitch is very good. I think, yeah, not many people know about this, but going to Shifnal, I don't know if they've done the changing rooms up, but the last time we went there, the changing rooms were very small. And do you know something? As a player, it really affects your mentality. So going to Shifnal, you have to be really strong. Looking at their league form, I think they've only lost the one game in the league against Congleton. Obviously, they've been knocked out of the FA Cup and the FA Vars, but they're a very strong side. They've got players who, to be honest, like Joe Cough and Josh Hessen, they should be playing at a higher level. So I think, again, it'll be another...
It was strange, actually, that Josh Hessen actually didn't stay at Lyde, that he went to Stourport Swifts. And that, for me, when you've got a player like Josh Hessen, you'd think he'd want to play at a higher level.
Yeah, I think he would. I don't know his personal circumstances. He had a great season last year. for Lye. But yeah, equally though, Adam Shifnal are a great club at this level, and again, they're going to have the aspirations to want to be promoted and to be challenging. So and I'd imagine he'd be on a good chunk of money to pay for Shifnal as well. So
it's I guess it's what you want for out of it at the end of the day, and it seems to be suiting Josh well at the moment. The only comment that I would make finally, Ryan, is I know what you mean about the ground being what it is, because it's a series of porta cabins. You got a lovely stand at one side of the ground, and it's all porta cabins virtually on the other side, and it's a little bit weird, to put it mildly, that you haven't got any actual buildings over there.
Yeah, to be fair, I do like going to Shifnal. I think it's quite a good ground for the level. Like I said, the pitch is always in good nick, and you always know you're going to get good hospitality. The people there are always very welcoming as well. So yeah, I mean, they're playing Darlaston tonight. Obviously, I think that'll be a really big game in the league, and I think ideally, from a Starport perspective, we'd be happy if both teams drew tonight, but...
It's also quite weird there that anything that goes wide of target ends up on the new building site over the far end of the ground. I wonder how many lost balls they've had over there over the last few years.
I'm sure it's not as many as our ground with the river.
Yes, I forgot about that. Ryan, best of luck for Saturday afternoon, and thanks for talking to us.
Cheers, Adam. Thanks, cheers, mate.
Bye-bye. That's Ryan Pratt, who spoke to me for Starports earlier in the year. Shut up, Adam. That's Ryan Pratt talking to me earlier in the week. And that on Wednesday night in Darlaston Town actually went on to beat Shifnal Town by 4-3, I think it was, in the end. But as it was, Darlaston went into 9th place on the table and Shifnal Town in 7th. And as I say, Darlaston winning at the Baycare by 4-3. Plenty of local football to look forward to this weekend, not just the FA Cup, but plenty of other action, including the Midland Football League. Tividale at home against Uttoxeter to Town, Bewdley away at Stone Alderlanians, as we mentioned, Stourport Swifts away at Shifnal Town, Darlaston Town away at Highgate United, Dudley Town away at Congleton Town, and AFC Wolverhampton's at home against Wolverhampton Casuals. So that's plenty of action in the Midland Football League Premier Division, and in Division 1, amongst the games taking place, a local derby between Bilston Town Community and Cradley Town, while AFC Bridge North travel to OJ and Black Country.
Black Country Radio Sport.
Well, as we speak at the moment, the second leg is taking place of the Speedway playoff semi-final between Sheffield and Wolverhampton Wolves. And it was a big night on Monday night, a bumper crowd at Monmore Green to see the first leg. Hundreds of fans, in fact, were locked out of Monmore Green Stadium due to health and safety issues, and a lot of disappointment that fans couldn't get in to see the Wolves riding that first leg. Steve Parker was there on Monday evening, and these were his thoughts.
Hey everybody, welcome to Monmore Green for this British Speedway Premiership semi-final first leg between Wolverhampton Wolves and Sheffield Tigers. Hardly anything between them in league placings when the season in the league meetings finished a couple of weeks ago. Wolves in second, just 1 point ahead of Sheffield, and if you took the aggregate of the home and away legs, only 1 point between them as well. Although the last couple of times that Sheffield have come to Monmore Green, Wolves have got 50 points and will be looking to take a lead like that or even more up to the second leg at Sheffield's Alverton Stadium on Thursday. A huge difference between the sides in terms of consistency, in terms of riders. Setting off with Wolves, who have the same starting seven as they did when the season started in March. All sorts of changes for Sheffield due to injuries and changes. In fact, only two riders from Sheffield start tonight that started in the games earlier in the season. Sheffield made some changes a month or two ago. Lewis Kerr and Adam Ellis moved on and were replaced by Chris Holder and Claire Smissing. And then Jack Holder, their number one rider, got injured in a Grand Prix. Sheffield announced a marquee signing in former Wolves and world champion Ty Woffenden, only for Ty Woffenden to get injured in the Grand Prix at Cardiff to put him out of injury. And then to make it even worse, Sheffield's then number one rider Rob Matusiak injured himself in Poland and is also unavailable for tonight's meeting. So three or four guests for Sheffield Tigers. It'll be interesting to see how they get on in tonight's fixtures. Either way, Simon Stent, the Tigers manager, will be cheering them up and trying to get them to the final. Remember, this time last year in the semi-final, Sheffield beat Wolves on aggregate to go through to a final against Bellevue. The other semi-final is Bellevue Aces versus Ipswich Witches. They've already raced one leg, which was at Ipswich last Thursday. Ipswich taking a 54-36 lead to the National Speedway Stadium at Bellevue on this Monday night. So give me the team news. And Sheffield bring in Grand Prix star Robert Lambert at number one. Carl Haworth is captain at number two. Chris Holder is at three. Josh Pickering, who started at Sheffield, went to King's Lynn and is now back riding for the Tigers, is at number four. Richard Lawson comes in for Rob Matusiak at five. Richard Lawson from Leicester. Drew Kemp stands in for Klaus Wissing, and Jason Edwards is at seven. Wolves in their normal lineup completely unchanged all season long, apart from when Luke Becker had a period out with injury when they brought in Scott Nichols. But Wolves lineup as usual: number one and captain Sam Masters, two Steve Worrell, three Luke Becker, four Ryan Douglas, five Rory Schlein, six Zach Cook, and seven Leon Flint. Looking forward to a cracking meeting here at Montmore Green in front of a really big crowd. It's Wolverhampton Wolves versus Sheffield Tigers in the British Premiership semi-final playoff.
Black Country Radio Sport.
Well, it got underway and there was some fantastic racing at Monmore Green on Monday evening, but it was the Tigers who took a 2-point lead after heat 11.
All action speedway here at Monmore Green, as you'd expect in this semi-final playoff, with Sheffield Tigers 34-32 ahead after heat 11. Some brilliant racing all the way around. Started off with 4-2 to Sheffield when former Wolves rider Carl Haworth took the gate, and Robert Lambert took Steve Worrell to give Tigers a 4-2. In the second heat, it was Zach Cook for the Wolves all the way before Leon Flint took Kemp on the last bend to give Wolves a 4-2. It was Becker who gated in heat 3 for the Wolves, but Pickering took Douglas on the fourth lap to give the Wolves a 4-2. And more good racing in heat 5 with Flint again gating. Lawson took Douglas and held off a hard charging Wolves for a 4-2. In heat 5, brilliant Robert Lambert, Grand Prix rider, showing his class, going from fourth on the first lap to first, taking Ryan Douglas around the outside on lap 3 to give the Tigers a 4-2 to bring him back to 16-14. Steve Worrell took Lawson around the bend to give Wolves a 26-16 lead after heat 6, before Chris Holder took Rory Schlein on the second lap for a 3-3 to give him his first race in the night. Heat 8, Carl Haworth fell under pressure from Steve Worrell on the first bend. It was a rerun for all four. Haworth dusted himself off and dived inside Worrell and Flint for a 3-3, 26-22 for the Wolves. Zach Kemp, guesting for the Tigers, gated well in heat 9. Lawson cut inside the inside, and team rode really well to keep Douglas and Becker at bay. First 5-1 of the evening, and it fell to the Tigers, giving them 27-29. And then in the in heat 10, it was Josh Pickering who rounded Steve Worrell, but Masters took Chris Holder on lap 3 in an exciting battle for a 3-3. And then in heat 11, just gone, Robert Lambert, showing his class, took Rory Schlein and Zach Cook on the second lap and Carl Howard then took Cook on the third lap as well, giving Tigers a 4-2. And after heat 11, it's Sheffield Tigers 34, Wolverhampton Wolves 32.
Black Country Radio Sport.
Well, the evening progressed and on to heat 13, which is always exciting, and Wolves needed a heat advantage to have any chance of maintaining their unbeaten home record.
Heat 13 here at Monmore Green, not looking good for the Wolves. They've just had another 4-2 when Chris Holder came from the back to beat Luke Becker in heat 12. Coming up to heat 13, always a good race. Sam Masters in red for the Wolves, off gate 1. Robert Lambert for the Tigers in white, off gate 2. Rory Schlein for the Wolves in blue on gate 3. And Richard Lawson for the Tigers off the outside gate in yellow and black. Masters, Lambert, Schlein and Lawson. Heat 13 in this playoffs. It's Wolves 34, Sheffield Tigers 38. Right, it's just doing their final preparation at the tapes, bit of gardening as they call it, to get the right grip off the start. So important in these later stages of the meeting. Starting Marshall brings them to order. Sam Masters, Robert Lambert, Rory Schlein and Richard Lawson. Wolves 34, Sheffield Tigers 38. Green light goes on, tapes are up. Sam Masters makes the gate, but Robert Lambert looks as though he's coming around the outside. Wheelie for Masters, but Lambert's got past him. It's a 4-2 to the Wolves at the moment, with Richard Lawson in third place. Masters coming under real pressure from Rory Schlein around the outside, but also putting pressure on Masters as they go down to the back straight of heat 2. Lambert still, Masters in second place, Schlein trying to get up the inside down the Carson corridor on the inside of lap 3, but Lambert pulling away, not much Masters can do about it. But can Schlein get round Lawson on the last gap? Schlein going up the inside, takes him on the inside. Can Masters fight back on the last bend? Doesn't look as if he can. Yes, he has. Masters comes back and it's a 4-2 for the Sheffield Tigers in heat 13.
Black Country Radio Sport.
Here at Monmore Green, it finished Wolves 40, Sheffield 50. First defeat of Wolves at home all season. You heard about heat 13, heat 14. Josh Pickman came from the back to beat Ryan Douglas. Zach Cook just about beat Drew Kemp to make it a 3-3. In the nominated race in heat 15, it was Sam Masters, Steve Worrell, Robert Lambert and Richard Lawson. And it was Richard Lawson who came from the back to take the Wolves riders. Robert Lambert then took Sam Masters for second place for a 5-1 to finish the evening with a 5-1 to the Sheffield Tigers, and a 50-40 scoreline, 10 points lead going into the second leg of the semi-final at Sheffield's Alderton Stadium on Thursday. Everything for the Wolves to do, they've done it before, but on the strength of the Sheffield Tigers side on this evening, it'll be a real uphill task. For Sheffield, Robert Lambert ended up with 12, paid for 13. Other guests, Richard Lawson, 10, paid 11. Two wins for Chris Holder in his 6 points as well. And then 8 for Carl Howarth, 8 for Josh Pickering, 4 for Drew Kemp, and 2 for Jason Edwards, or 3 for Jason Edwards. For the Wolves, never really got going. Sam Masters 7, Steve Worrell 7, Luke Becker only got 5, Ryan Douglas 6, Rory Schlein 5, and the two reserves chipping in 5 apiece. Bad news for the Wolves, defeat in the first of the semi-finals. It finished Sheffield 50, Wolves 40.
And that was Steve Parker at Monmore Green on Monday night. Well, as we record this on Thursday evening, I can tell you the second leg is currently taking place. Race 5 has been stopped due to a rider crash. But as it is at the moment, it's Sheffield Tigers 16, Wolverhampton Wolves 8, which means that Sheffield lead by 66 points to 48, and they're pretty sure to win that tie on aggregate. That's just about it for this edition of the Sportscast. Hope you've enjoyed it. We're back with Black Country Sport on Saturday afternoon, hosted by myself. We've got plenty of Premier League action, including Wolves and Villa at home, plus the FA Cup action with Stourbridge Halsall in town and Rochdale Olympic at home, plus lots more besides, including Rugby Union as well. Hope you can join me from 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, but thank you for now for listening to this Sportscast. See you soon.
Black Country Radio Sports.